हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु माविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 46, Chapter 3, Liberation from Illusory Energy. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord's tendency to give himself to his pure devotee is demonstrated in the case of Bali Maharaj, who sacrificed his universal kingdom for the pleasure of Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamana was so pleased by the selfless surrender of Bali Maharaj that the Lord became the doorman at the palace of Bali, who was reinstated as a great leader in the universe. Srila Rupa Goswami has delineated four preliminary prerequisites for advancement for the sincere disciple. Guru Parashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishram Bhena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. And 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.74. Right, so, because of that, then that's why then Krishna gives himself. So one is surrendering to the spiritual master and following those instructions, applying that in one's life. And so that's what's going to please Krishna, and he will give oneself to him. Right? So that's very important, because if Krishna is going to give himself to somebody, then that's only going to happen on the platform of prema. Right? So now, the point is the conditioned soul doesn't have prema. And even the liberated soul doesn't have prema. Right? Only someone on the platform of prema has prema. So Krishna will reciprocate that platform of prema with his own affection. But then the problem is, how do you get there? Right? You know, again, then the problem comes down is, unless you have prema, he's not going to reciprocate on that level. So then you have to, how do you approach? Right? And so then that whole point is done, is how you surrender to the spiritual master. That's then how Krishna surrenders to you. So it's a very essential part of the process. So in this chapter, this is 1.2.74. Okay, so this is before the 6, where he delineates all the points, the 64 items of devotional service. So this is in the Samanya Bhakti. So he's expressing here that whole point, unless this may be according to his way he broke it down, not the way Prabhupada. Prabhupada's given, I think they're the first 5 chapters are part 1. Because you see, Prabhupada's chapters are not so big, but you see that the numbers in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are huge, 274, because he uses it as sections. You have the 4 waves, the 4 parts, and then you have sections. So you have the Samanya Bhakti, where he's just giving an overall overview of what is Samanya Bhakti, then Sadhana Bhakti, then Rag Bhakti, then Bhava Bhakti, then Prema Bhakti. Right? Yeah. So in any case, wherever this is, whether it's in Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, the 6th chapter, or whether it's before that, the point is this is how you're going to attract Krishna. So then, because now you're surrendering to the spiritual master, so then, even though one hasn't come to prema, Krishna is still reciprocating. So how, well, that degree you surrender, that's how then he does. So we can see is the whole point of Krishna in his pastimes is the devotees. It's not about something else. Right? It's the interaction with the devotees. That, therefore, that's why the pastime is there. And so, you know, what is he doing in his pastimes? He's interacting with the devotees. He's at home with Mother Jashoda, then he goes out with the cowherd boys, then he's with the cowherd girls, he's back with the cowherd boys, then he's with Mother Jashoda again, then he's out with the cowherd girls, then he's back with Mother Jashoda again. So like this, it's just going through the day and doing different things, and then the variety that comes within that. Right? So it's just him and the devotees. So if you can't surrender, you can't expect him to surrender to the devotee, meaning yourself, if you can't surrender to the devotee. You can't expect from him something that you can't do. And the point is whatever you do, he'll reciprocate. So if you surrender to the devotee, he'll surrender to the devotee. It's just in this case, that devotee happens to be you. Right? But he surrenders because we're surrendered to the devotee of his devotee. Right, so we see we're surrendering to the spiritual master, following the footsteps of the great acharyas, right under, then you know who's ever heading the line. So for us, that's Rupa Goswami. Right, so we're serving our spiritual master, serving the founder acharya, serving the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Does that make sense? So this is a very integral part. So if there's any other kind of process or that where they try to relativize the position of the spiritual master, then it's spiritually not viable. It won't give you spiritual results. Right? So, at the same point, is because you're hearing from them, taking initiation, hearing from them about the spiritual subject matter, and then trying to practice that. Right? So that's what we're getting here, especially in the 11th canto, is now, we've heard the first 10th canto, how are we going to now apply that in our life? Practically. Now, that we've seen the pastimes of Krishna, we want to be part of these pastimes. How are we going to practice that we can come to that platform? So that's 11th and 12th cantos are showing that. Mm-hmm. Right? So then this is how it's done. Now, one has to be very careful. One can't, when one pleases, then mix management elements, the secondary aspects of management, with the primary aspects of the spiritual. So when it pleases you, then, okay, well, the spiritual master, we can't control this disciple, so since he's your disciple, you have to control him, because we're the managers and we can't. So you have to get him to managerially be in line. Right? That's your responsibility. And then, when they are in line, then no, we're doing it as spiritual and all that. You're just supposed to take care of the spiritual. You get out of the way. We're the managers. You understand? You can't do that. It's a matter of the managers know what they're doing, and they're doing it for Krishna, and the spiritual master is doing what they're doing for Krishna. Does that make sense? And so each does their service. So the spiritual master doesn't get involved in the management, and the management doesn't get involved in using the spiritual master as they please. You know how you say it? The local spiritual garbage bin. Right? You know, sacred trash. Yes. You know, you've heard of white trash. Well, this is sacred trash. Okay, so one has to see is that you have to be careful in this. And then the idea is, oh, because he's not a good manager, so then how can he be this and that? So no, the point is they're supposed to show you how to spiritually advance. So because they're spiritually perfect doesn't mean that the material qualities that they function with are necessarily going to show material perfection. Like that. Does that make sense? So we can't judge by these kind of things. This point is what they're saying, is that in line with Prabhupada? If what they're saying makes sense to us, is this something we could practice? That's then what you're looking for. And if you want to know how to do something practical, ask someone who knows that specific thing. Spiritual master knows it? Great. Like if you want to know cooking, you ask Bhakti Chumash, you'll learn a lot. Like that. You understand? So, but it's not that, well, unless he can cook, then he's not a spiritual master. Well, my spiritual master can cook. What about yours? You know, no, you don't do these things. So it's so this modern thing of breaking down authority and relativizing everything because management is the pinnacle of you know, human perfection. These are for those within the platform of Pranamoy, not even on the Vedic platform. So it's a sinful platform just by existence. If you're situated in Anamoy or Pranamoy, there's a good chance that you're not following the Vedic system. Right? But even you're following, it doesn't mean your consciousness can't be on these levels. But it just means you're following the Vedas, and for that, only for Artha or for Kama. But if we find that it's not based on the Vedic literatures, it's based on the modern concepts, then one doesn't have that advantage. So that just means one's situated in these platforms by material considerations. And then try to claim that that is the same as following the Vedas and is the same as the spiritual platform of existence. You can't do that. Now, these aspects of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha can all be engaged in Krishna's service, and that's a fact. But the point is, it has to be about it's for pleasing Krishna, not for getting done, not for accomplishing, these human needs, right? You know that you're interested in this case, what we call of economics, justice, or you know mundane morality. Does that make sense? Because then you can't cheat. You can't say they're the same just because you're supposedly doing it for Krishna. Because if you're relativizing the guru, that is in no way for Krishna. Because you have to understand it's a principle. Krishna is the guru. And the point is he's going to come to you through a representative because everything is Krishna. But it doesn't mean that Mother Jashoda is not there. You say, well, it's all Krishna. Yeah, but you can still tell the difference between things. So you have to know how to use this, everything is Krishna. That's why it was so much emphasized before and it's being brought out now. The Navi Yogendras then are showing how you apply this because they're living it. And that's why they're being discussed. We're discussing with them, right? Myajur Nimi's discussion with them. Otherwise he wouldn't be asking. Right? Because he has in his assembly all these big jnanis and karmis and all that. But he doesn't have liberated, realized Vaishnavas. So, therefore, then he's hearing from the Navayugendras. Does that make sense? So it's an important thing. But it's about the spiritual aspect. You know, in the same way, it's just because they're my spiritual master, then somebody else is unfortunate because you don't have my spiritual master as your spiritual master. Because my spiritual master is connected to me. I'm the best. That makes him the best. Therefore, you're not connected with him, and therefore, you're not the best. That kind of neophyte kind of mentality also is totally useless. So, in other words, the material judging of the position of the spiritual master has no benefit on the spiritual platform. Materially, yes, you can get all kinds of benefit from it. But the main benefit will be you stay in the material world. You want to go back to Godhead, then you have to use the spiritual measurement, right? Remember before we were saying? You use Mahamaya or Yogamaya as your measurement. Mm-hmm. So this then, Acharyas have given, this is being given by Prabuddha. These are realized souls, mm-hmm. right? And the spiritual can go beyond. Does this make sense? Yes? Mm-hmm. So then we always want to see that we're seeing in this position. And we're trying to render that kind of service. And you can see when people do, everything goes very well. And when they relativize, then nothing happens. I mean, literally, nothing happens. You know, you can't even guarantee you'll get lunch. Like that. So it's that simple. You simply have to look, at the practical application of that. Sri Prabhupada continues. Yes.
So, in these four main principles, you know, can we say that in his con, for example, to study, to appreciate Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, is maybe the first step, no?
It's naturally a first step, because you don't know what is a spiritual master. Yes. You don't know anyone. So when you come, then it's your understanding that is Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya.
Yes.
Like that. And then, naturally, then you're connecting yourself to that line. It's going to be Prabhupada's instruction. So, the connection to your spiritual master, your Diksha connection, is through that spiritual master.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Like that. And so that's the Diksha Pranali. That's directly there. But the Siksha Pranali is through Prabhupada.
Yes.
So, then, it's just like, let's take it, okay, you have Prabhupada and his disciple. Okay, so the Diksha connections is Prabhupada, the Siksha connection is Prabhupada, right? Now, let's say you take the next generation. Their Diksha connection is with their spiritual master, then to Prabhupada, then like this going up the Parampara, like that. But the Siksha connection is their spiritual master is letting you understand then Prabhupada's teachings, right? Now you go to the generation after that. Then their spiritual master is their Diksha connection, which is connected to their guru, which is connected to Srila Prabhupada, and then up through the Parampara. But the Siksha that they're getting from their spiritual master is their spiritual master teaching them to understand Srila Prabhupada. You understand? It's not dependent. The Siksha is not dependent upon the other gurus in between. The Diksha is. Because, you know, it's just electricity, you know, unless you're Tesla, it has to have a connection. Right? Like that. And even he, it's a connection just a little more subtle than what we're used to. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. So the whole point is that's the advantage of a founder acharya. You know, it's just like, let's say you take today a Sri Vaishnava, then their Diksha Guru is the one that connects them to Ramanuja, and I'm not sure how many generations we're looking at now, but probably quite a few. Right? And so that's going to be there. But the Siksha connection is the spiritual master is teaching him Ramanujacharya's philosophy. They're not teaching his gurus and then his guru like that. It doesn't work like that. That's the founder acharya makes it there's one kind of and that everybody's trying to understand that. Okay? So that's just how the system works. So understanding that, you don't have to overemphasize Krishna Prabhupada at the expense of the spiritual master. And at the same time, you won't overemphasize the spiritual master forgetting Srila Prabhupada. So if that's done, then you can come up with, you know, you could say bureaucratic techniques of how to kind of adjust that. But unless you understand what's going on, it won't make an adjustment. Right, so it's then, you know, you're getting rid of, what do you call it, you know, anybody worshipping their spiritual master because it might disturb someone else, just like the politically correct political persons. Because it's based on that. It's not, until political correctness came up as a feature, no one ever was saying that. People who had that tendency were complaining like that since day one that they came into the movement. And it wasn't Prabhupada. But they were complaining before they joined, right? So it's just, you know, yeah, it's going to be, it's just like if a bird becomes like Garuda, if he wasn't a devotee, when he became a devotee, he'd still fly around and still have feathers, right? So it's like that. Now it's just a matter, are you going to engage that in the Lord's service? So then the principle comes up is that there's no need to make Prabhupada's big, but then the problem thing is, it's not really, it's just externally big. It's not about the instructions. It's just that Prabhupada, you know, it's like, okay, his Vyasa-san is that anybody else is this, you know, only the point that, you know, where their head is only comes, you know, to like, you know, whatever is Prabhupada's chest or something like that. That's the maximum. But what about the instructions?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So is it actually understanding what spiritual master is? Not at all. So Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya because he is the founder of Acharya. You know, that's the way he's been sent like that. Not that because he's my spiritual master, therefore he's the founder of Acharya and he's great. Because if we're going to work on that, just give it a matter of time and there won't be any of his disciples left. And then now how is that going to work out? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing is you have to, it all goes together. Like that. It's all part of the process. Just like the previous acharyas are senior to Srila Prabhupada, but our connection to them is through Prabhupada. But our connection to Prabhupada is we have the Diksha connection from our spiritual master. He gives us the instructions, but it's still about Prabhupada's instructions. Like that. It doesn't change. So makes sense. So that's why with the generations also who's sitting on the altar doesn't change. Right? Because the founder acharya and then four acharyas before. Because that's the Siksha line, right? So that makes sense. If you went just by the diksha line, then, you know, each generation would be dropping off a diksha. So Prabhupada's eventually drop off like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's a simple thing. So that's why it's then he understands. That's why we're studying Prabhupada's books with the acharyas, so that we can understand that what Prabhupada is saying is what they're saying. Right? So what they're saying, that maybe in technical language, Prabhupada is saying in a language we can understand. But in that simple language that Prabhupada uses, all the technicalities that they're talking about is there. And many times presented in a shorter presentation. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, if you remember just a few sutras back in Vedanta Sutra, there was that huge purport of Prabhupada from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it was kind of like the first time that anybody was actually understanding the technicalities of Vedanta Sutra. Right? So that's the point. That's the founder of Acharya. Okay. Sri Prabhuda continues. A sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything material and positively cultivate association with the spiritual master and other saintly devotees. So, disassociating the mind means the mind tends to go to material things. You don't let it go there. You take it to spiritual things. Because then one has compared and see the spiritual value in something is way more than the material value. What you get from something materially is not as much as what you get from spiritually. Right? I mean, it's just an example. Okay. You know, probably those sitting here have been chanting Hare Krishna for a long time. Okay? So now you're going to be chanting 16 rounds, right? Like, take it that's what we're kind of doing here, right? Okay. So, we're chanting that. And then, you know, it means that the word, there's not so many, there's three words, right? In a pattern so that you have 16 words. Right? But it's only three words. Right? And then that's being said over and over again 108 times, and that's been said, you know, then 16 times, right, as a minimum. So that will take you, you know, so, you know, 1 hour and 20 minutes to 2 hours a day, right? There's a general kind of average, right? Yeah. So now, and that's been doing that every day for years and years and years. Now, take whatever your most favorite song is, or, you know, quote passage, you know, from wherever it is, and try saying that over and over again, you know, for 2 hours. Are you going to be able to do that the next day? No. But Hare Krishna, you can't. And even if you could do the next, could you do it for years? So that's the point. The taste from the spiritual is so much greater than the material. So then you just start to learn that there is no advantage. So you just start to see, do these things connected to Krishna. So it's not that the disassociate the mind from everything material means you don't see things as material, you see things as spiritual, because that's what you're getting from the spiritual master. Right? If we take it, oh, from everything material means, you know, everything we can see. No, but if you, what you're seeing is material, yes, we're talking that. You're supposed to see everything as spiritual. That's how we're supposed to see it. Yeah?
The spiritual masters, the acharyas, they have the chitta.
Yes.
And so they can give us revelation.
Yes. Yes. For that means by following the instructions, you have that connection. Yes. Then when you accept also that diksha line, that connection, because then it shows we're serious.
Yes.
Right? Because you could say is no, but the instructions are enough. Yes, for a liberated soul, it is enough. Because if a liberated soul decides, okay, this is important, they do it. Like the how long means from the, let's say, the four Kumaras, they go to Vaikuntha, right, as liberated souls, and they have their discussion with Jai and Vijay. Lord Vishnu comes out. Then, you know, as is the etiquette mentioned in the Vedas, they offer their obeisances. Then, smelling the tulsi from the lotus feet of the Lord, they see that smell, that experience there is way greater than the experience of being on the Brahman platform. Right? And so, therefore, at that point, they surrender to Krishna. Right? And so, after that, do we ever hear that they were having a bad devotional day? you know, couldn't get their rounds chanted, or, you know, got up late. And, you understand? Never. So a liberated soul, if they commit themselves to the siksha, it's done.
Yes.
You're initiated. Yes. Like the six Goswamis. We don't see Lord Chaitanya sitting down and doing a fire yajna and all that with the six Goswamis. No, but you see he instructed each one of them. So they're direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya by the siksha pranali. So for us, the siksha pranali is the main line. But because we're conditioned, we require pancharatra. We have to regulate our lives in that. Otherwise, if we didn't have the pancharatra, we'd just live our karmic lives, whatever we were living before, and just add chanting Hare Krishna in it, how serious would we be? You know what I'm saying? You know, so there's not a lot of Brahma Muhurta after, you know, how you say, getting up just in time to, you know, get out of bed and, you know, at most get your coffee and then run off to the office. Right? Because you've been up late at night partying with your friends. So it's only because of the pancharatric system then there is such a thing as the Brahma Muhurta. Right? But otherwise, it doesn't exist for the common person, unless you're, let's say, a Navy SEAL or something. Then they do get up at 4 in the morning, but they unfortunately don't chant japa. Right? Does that make sense? So, that the point is it's only because of the pancharatric system that we have a lifestyle that's favorable to Krishna consciousness. Right? Cause if, does that make sense? Yeah. So, then it comes down is that without the diksha, then how do you know one's serious? That's the point. How do you know you're serious? To accept you're accepting the instructions, but to what, why we say, oh, you know, but we accept the instructions, but we won't take initiation. How serious are we? And then you can say, but I don't see anyone qualified. But then that means your lack of qualification. Because then are you saying everybody else in the movement is unqualified because they see someone qualified? You're seeing, you know, weaknesses that no one else sees, so you're so much better than everybody else? Yeah, so then that's the whole point is, if you can't see that spiritual benefit that's there of connection to Krishna, and that receiving these instructions so that you can understand what Prabhupada's saying nicely, then is that actually the spirit, a spiritual connection? It means it's connected, yeah, there is something, but is it enough to be a sincere disciple, you know, of Krishna? Because you're not accepting his line. So how serious are you about Krishna? Because you don't have a direct relationship with Krishna. You can only have through the devotees. And you're only accepting the devotees in as much as your material vision finds them suitable. Right? You know, it's like Duryodhana. He went around the whole world, could not find one good person because he found everybody had a fault. And Yudhishthira going around the world, he could not find one bad person because everybody had some good quality. So it's just a matter of which camp you fit in. That's all. You know, there's no qualified gurus, then, you know, how you say, it's not Yudhishthira's camp. Let's just put it that way. Keep everything more cultured. Yes?
This is mainly because, like, the first instruction Sri Prabhupada gave that one should dissociate the mind. Because we very much hover upon our previous experiences, that's why we find...
Yes, so we're using our previous samskars. So if our previous samskars, we don't trust anybody, then we won't. Why would we trust, you know, Guru, Krishna, or anybody else? But that's our conditioning. So, but we have to look at what are the symptoms of. So if we're simply looking at it, okay, what I didn't get, you know, let's say from my family or, you know, friends or like that, I'm looking for in the spiritual master. And so I may not find that because I'm looking for specific reactions. But the point is that their duty? That's the duty of family members. But the spiritual, you know, responsibility is about your understanding the philosophy to apply in your life. So, of course, it will be the origin of all that, but it won't have the sentiment of that. It won't have that drawn out, you know, that extra, you know, just won't have that. Does that make sense? It'll have the spiritual instructions that are given to so that you can appreciate them, but it's not that they're going to put it into the context of, you know, you're feeling bad. You know what I'm saying? That's what family and friends are for. So if you have the karma for that to work nicely, great. If you don't, then it doesn't. So that's the advantage, is the soul, even though materially things don't work, spiritually they can. That's the point. Bhakti being independent, you can spiritually advance and go back to Godhead where, you know, you have proper arrangements, and despite the material situation. But if you demand or you use your material experience as the judge for everything, you know, as the standard, then you're always going to be disappointed, because everyone being an individual, everyone else is different. You'll never find anyone who's perfectly like you. And there's a good chance that that person who can't find anyone they like, the only person that is like them is themselves. And when they look in the mirror in the morning, do they like themselves? And if they're okay with the guy, the wall in the mirror, then maybe they could like other people. But since they don't like the guy in the mirror, you know, they're not going to like anybody else. And so it's an impossibility. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. Hence the instructions on the man in the mirror, right? Yes?
Yeah. But I enjoy the Dharma also. It's very quick. This Vaishnava Dasa, when he became a devotee, he very quickly attained Baba.
Yes. Yes, because it's there. Some may bring up the point is, okay, well, how many lifetimes this is over or anything, or, you know, Gopal Kumar, how many lifetimes and all this, and so it's just a, you know, how do you call it? You're just telling a narration, but it's not actually connected to one person and all that. You know, it's like in the those who understand the Vedic literatures and all that, then there was one Vikramaditya, right? But in the modern scholars, then I forget how many there are, but there's quite a few, because he technically lived 2,000 years. And so they have to have Vikramaditya 1, Vikramaditya 2, you know, it's like Napoleon 1, Napoleon 2, Napoleon 3, like that. Did they all wear the hat? Or only one wore the hat?
Only one.
Only one, okay. Napoleon 1, he actually was the bona fide with a hand in the, yeah, all that. That's the bona fide Napoleon. But the other ones, then a little less, you know, they didn't, didn't drink enough horse urine, I think. That must be the, you know, like that. So, you know, that's what set him apart. You know, he vacationed in Corsica, you know, all these things. The other ones didn't do that, you know, so they you know, what kind of. So the whole point is we come up with that kind of solutions because we don't see the connection. So if we use our mundane methods to judge, we can't appreciate. That's the main thing. So therefore, as you have to see, do they appreciate and understand Prabhupada's teachings? Are they committed to that? Are they trying to apply that in their life? And when they explain it, do we understand what they're talking about on the spiritual platform? If that's there, that's a spiritual, that's someone you can accept as a Siksha Guru. Right? And then from the Siksha Gurus, then whichever is prominent, they become the Diksha Guru. Right? As a general rule. So now, but if you expect all the emotional support and social support and all these things that one was lacking in one's, you know, Purva Samskars, you know, the life before becoming a devotee, then one will be disappointed. And so if you try to club the two together, then you'll end up with the same problem as the others who club it on an intellectual or a managerial, or, in other words, whatever you take as your material measurement to judge what a spiritual master is, you'll always fail and you'll always be disappointed. But if you use the actual measure that the acharyas give, then how can you be disappointed? Does that make sense? You know, it's like a recipe. You use what it says. If the recipe says you use cups, you use cups. If it says use liters, you use liters. Right? Because otherwise, if it says one cup and you use 1 liter, you're going to end up with something quite different. You know, I mean, the volume and everything. He says, you know, cooks for 4. And then you find out, no, it actually cooks for 40. These guys are bogus. Yeah, because they said cups and you use liters. Now, what if the guy uses gallons or uses, you know, bathtubs? You know, like that. Okay, 1 bathtub of suji, 1 bathtub of butter. Like that. You're going to need a big pot, you know. like that. So we'll have to cook it in the swimming pool, right? Does that make sense? Okay.
To cook is it in the swimming pool? Makes sense. It makes sense to cook in the swimming pool.
Yes, it does. I mean, because otherwise, if you're dealing with bathtubs and all that, then it looks like that. But you might be able to do it in the kids' pool, not the big Olympic size. But.
What is positive association and negative association with the spiritual master?
Positive?
Positively cultivate us.
We just explained that. Positive means you're taking the instructions and trying to see how to follow that. Negative means you're using material measurement to try to figure out and analyze the spiritual master. Mm-hmm. So in other words, in this situation, this is what I would do. So they in that situation did the same thing. So then they're like me. So then what's the difference between them and me?
Is this attitude going to hamper the progress of the disciple?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Like that. The negative always will, and the positive will always give good benefit. So you have to see the spiritual. Like that. That's why they're for. Spiritual master. You want emotional import? That's called family. It's called friends. That's called community. And that's also then, you know, in the Vedic sense, called Varnashram. So we don't accept Varnashram, but the spiritual master has to fill in for all that. But we won't accept Varnashram because we're transcendental. But he's got to do all these mundane kind of emotional interactions because that's his duty. At the same time as, you know, we don't follow Varnashram because it's not spiritual. And that it doesn't make sense. Right? And so if you want a relationship to work, then that's the thing. There's regulation, there's control, there's what you do. You can't just do what you want. So we want to do what we want, when we want, how we want. And at the same time, everyone else will fit into our standard of measurement. Right? So in this case, miyate, meaning measurement, means me. That's the meaning of it. Yeah. The devotees have problems with the life to try to impose on the spiritual master. Yes, I mean some do, some don't. Some pick the spiritual master, some pick the temple president, some pick the GBC, some pick the whole society. If the whole society doesn't act the way I want, then you know, some pick Krishna, something, you know, like this. The point is that there's an expectation of getting something from something that's not supposed to do that. You know, I've always had a problem with the blender. And so now I have a toaster. I expect the toaster to do the blender stuff and the toaster stuff. It's not logical like that. Right? Okay. He should be merciful to those in an inferior position to him, cultivate friendship with those on an equal level, and meekly serve those on a higher spiritual position. Right? So this is then how they... So you see the Madhyama platform, that's the etiquette, that's how we act. Our realization, we may be at the neophyte, but the culture is that of the Madhyama. Right? Does that make sense? To serve the spiritual master and the disciple should learn cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, and equanimity in the face of material duality such as heat and cold, happiness and distress. So that means we're clean whether we're happy or distressed, right? Otherwise we're happy, then we're super clean and really go for it. And when we're not, then, you know, it's, the track suit, right, you know. You know, you understand? We're tolerant when we're happy, and when we're not, we're not silent. We're silent. Well, we're not silent either way, but study of Vedic. Not, so, you understand? So, all the situations, heat, cold, happiness, and stress, you know, rich or poor, you know, the whole thing, right? Yeah. 16. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 23 to 24 to Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right, so these are favorable. Having this mentality, having this understanding, having this practice, this is favorable. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. He should learn external cleanliness by using water and earth, and internal cleanliness by destroying pride and hypocrisy. Because right? What we were saying before, all these mundane considerations, because pride and hypocrisy. Because what we always see is the standard for ourselves means is that we have that natural, you know, Vaishnavas are broad-minded and liberal like that, but at the same time they're strict, you know, Thunderbolt and Rose, right? We've heard that. And so therefore then if we have this pride and hypocrisy, then we're all going to apply this Thunderbolt and Rose and all that. Well, you know, we'll apply it like a rose with ourselves and a thunderbolt with everybody else. Like that. So therefore then it won't work. Austerity means control over lust, anger, and other impulses. Right? So that's the thing. Austerity doesn't mean the physical difficulty. We generally take it as the physical difficulty. No, it's the controlling the emotions, that they're being engaged properly. That's austerity. So that means if you're controlling lust, anger, and other impulses, what are you doing? You're not doing other impulses, you're doing what you should do. So that's why sometimes you see austerity means practicing your duties or following the varnashram duties that are your duties. Right? Because to do that, you have to control lust, anger, and other impulses. Otherwise, you're going to do something else other than your duties. Right? And in doing that, then you have to tolerate heat and cold. You know, happiness and distress. You know, richer and poorer. You know, all those kind of things. So then... It's a lot of work, yeah. So therefore, it can also include those physical difficulties, which are also known as penance. Right? So if you're following the austerity, there will be penance. But a lot of times we take austerity as just the penance. Then the difficulty comes is that someone who thinks like that, they'll do the penance and that's focused, do the austerity, but as penance. And then you'll see is they don't necessarily control lust, anger, and other impulses, especially anger. That's why you see the saints, the sages tend to, towards anger. They're easily angered because they're controlling the senses that any little thing can just set them off. But because they're controlling the senses, they'll also very quickly come back and give up the anger. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Because someone who doesn't control the senses, then they may not be easily angered. Right? Or they're always angry. Right? You know, that's the thing. What do you call it? You know, that the green doctor. The doctor turns into the green guy. Like that. He's always angry. Yeah. So like that. He should learn tolerance. So does that make sense? So austerity means performance of your duties. It means the control of the emotions and all those things, seeing it, you know, from the proper. And it means all the physical difficulties that comes along with it. Sometimes it'll just be said as one word. Sometimes all three will be mentioned or two will be mentioned. Like that. So it all means it's the same thing. It's just taking different aspects. One is focusing on the duties. You can only do that if you control the mind. Right? And by doing those, you will have any of the physical difficulties that go with it. That's the penance. So it's different aspects of the same thing. Like that. Then he should learn tolerance, tiksham. He should learn how to give up useless talk, maunam. Right? So mauna doesn't mean that you don't say anything. You just don't say anything not worth saying. And that means it's not spiritual. Otherwise, of course, gossip is really worth saying, especially some latest, did you hear? You know, like that. You know. And you're so disappointed if they say, yeah. Or if they, or especially you say, oh, that's so, you know, last week.
Especially if they say, you know what happened next.
Yeah, and you don't know. Oh, yeah, but, yeah, of course, but, you know, and you're all excited, but that's nothing. Then this, and, well, oh, my God, you know. So we see exactly. Yeah. We don't get into that. We'll forget what we're talking about. We should learn recitation of texts which indicate bhakti, such as Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So those verses that support bhakti that are going to be used for our own practice so we can help others, those are the ones we should then memorize. Right? He should learn to be straightforward and sincere, arjivam. Right? So it's not duplicitous and all these kind of things like that. It means this, in other words, means it doesn't mean that you are not diplomatic according to the situation. Right? It's a matter of you're straight where you're trying to get something done. In your mind, you know why you're doing it. You don't try to cover up that you have ulterior motives by trying to say it's something really nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And learn how to give up the association of women. So that means is it's not about associating with women for the sense pleasure that you get there. There's duties, then one is involved and all that, then the natural in the duties, you have the control of the lust, anger, and other impulses, so the proper interaction, there'll be all these kind of things. Does that make sense? So this applies to everyone, because otherwise, and means also here, just associating with women, there's some purpose in that, then it works out very nice. But if it's just for gossip and other things, it's not going to work out so well. So even women associating with women just based on gossip, then today they're the best of friends, tomorrow they'll hate each other. Right? And then the next day they'll be best of friends, and the next day they'll hate each other. So it also is a problem. So that aspect. So it's, in other words, this association means that it's about sense gratification. But it's based on Krishna consciousness, and that then what's the problem? He should learn non-violence and equality in situations of respect or disrespect. So that's where equality is applied. See, from equality, then you're supposed to be, whether you're respected or not, you're supposed to see with equal vision. When we use the modern context, the political context of the equity here, then the difficulty comes up is we'll say everyone's equal, but we'll be constantly offended by anything someone says, if how the word they use or how they say it, or the tone, is not how you want to hear it. So there's no equality at all. Because if there's equality, it means I can say what I want, they can say what they want. No, I can say what I want, you have to say what I say. That's the equality. And everyone's equal how I say they're equal, how I see they're equal. You understand? So when you take on the material without the direction of the scriptures and all that, without the spiritual purpose, then there's no equality at all. It's not equity. Right? If it's equity, why aren't they cutting off everybody's head, you know, with the guillotine, right? You know, because I mean, just, if it's good for the king, it's good for everybody, right? You know, it's like that. We're all equal, right? No? Like that, you know, like that, so... He should, okay. Okay, while being devoid of joy or lamentation. Right? So happiness comes there, means something works out, you're happy. But joy means you're overly elated by the technical way that something worked. Right? And lamentation is, you know, you can be sad, but you're overly affected by mechanically how it didn't work. So joy and lamentation are based on the mechanics. Does that make sense? It's not about Krishna. Right? If it's about Krishna, it's called ecstasy. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Sri Prabhupada continued. One should practice meditation by constantly seeing oneself to be an eternal cognizant spiritual soul, and seeing the Lord to be the absolute controller of everything. So if you see yourself as a soul, and the Lord is the controller of everything, so what does that mean when you interact with anything?
You're the servant.
You're the servant. So therefore you have to see it in relationship to the Lord. Right? So then what will you do? Right? Then you have to, you know, control lust and that, pride, hypocrisy, be clean, all these, because you're dealing with Krishna. If it's Krishna, does Krishna like dirt, being dirty, impurity? No, so therefore, you know, you're going to touch something, your hand has to be clean. Not just, oh, it's too impractical to clean my hand, so it doesn't matter. Right? No, it's Krishna. So if he's the control of everything, everything is his, he is everything, therefore you have to adjust it to him. Yes? No? Very good? Yes, okay. To increase one's meditation, one should live in a secluded place and give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia. By secluded means it's not based on the material society, friendship and love, all that kind of thing. It's based on what's favorable for Krishna consciousness. Right? So wherever that place where you can go be Krishna conscious, then that's secluded. That's, it doesn't mean you have to go out to the forest. It can mean that if that's what's favorable. But the point is therefore the temple, it's secluded. Or if your house is an ashram, it's secluded. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. And give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia. How many, when we read that, only noticed attachment and didn't notice the false attachment? Like that. In a sense, you know, why always the attachment? Why, you know, like this? Because it says false attachment. So in other words, the home and household paraphernalia is there to engage in Krishna's service. So you're using it, you take care of it, and all that. There's no false attachment that it's mine. It's Krishna's. So as Krishna's quoted, he's given you to use in his service. You know, we're not talking about the hippie, you know, kind of thing. It's all one here. Yours is mine and mine is yours and like that. Or the further extension of that. What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. Like that. That's
called marriage.
Yes, that's the same mistake. You have the hippie and then that's his philosophy. It's all like this and then you have the hippie wife. It's still, it's all hers. Right? Yeah. Giving up the decorations of the temporary material body, one should dress himself with scraps of cloth found in rejected places or with the barks of trees. Right? So if you really want to go for it, then this is how it works. Okay, so the point is that giving up the decoration of the temporary material body means whatever is necessary for service and for the particular duties and relationships that are there, that much is done. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, just an example of, you know, so we can see is that what is applied, what's not. Let's say in the Vedic tradition, then the women are wearing kajal. Right, but they're not wearing false eyelashes. They're not putting on, you know, they don't have to put on a face like that. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. So that's artificial. But putting on kajal or, you know, putting different things to, you know, take care of the skin and all that—that's just natural. What you do, you're taking care of. So it's like you wash your car, right? So you know these things are done. Does that make sense? So then it's based on that aspect of duties and the spiritual and the mode of goodness, and that creates the beauty. Otherwise, if you're working in the mode of ignorance, you have to do a little bit more to make it attractive. Right? Does that make sense? So the same principle can be there for those who are preaching and, you know, and doing that thing, is that they dress properly and all that, but it's for Krishna. But what's beyond that, just that they want to look beautiful, that's not important. Right. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material condition. Right? So if things are nice, you're satisfied. If it's not nice, you're satisfied. It's just the way it is. One should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Right? Not other scriptures that are talking on other things. So they may have, ultimately they're talking about Bhagavan, but you won't know it from reading the scripture. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. Because they're written for people who want to do something else other than pure devotion. So that they're following the Vedic literature means all these things that you do that they'll try to do, but they have another purpose. They have, you know, fruitive result they want, or they want to get liberated. Right? So all that they're trying to do, so that they're following the lifestyle, Vedic lifestyle, they're accepting guru, they're accepting shastra, they have sadhana, they regulate their lives, they give in charity, they do all the different things that they should. That's good. The only problem is they don't know what the ultimate goal is. So we don't blaspheme those literatures. It's just that it is not important because ultimately all that's for Krishna. Because the Vedic literatures say that. So if all those things are listed there, it's meant to be used for Krishna. They don't know that. That's all. One should rigidly control his mind, speech, and bodily activities. Always speak the truth, right? Truth means it's about Krishna, not, what's this modern thing of, can't remember what they call it. It's this kind of overly frank truthfulness. brutally truth, or it's got a name for it, where whatever they think in their mind, they just say. They don't hold back, and they think that this is being honest. You just don't want to hang out with people like that. They're actually totally not nice, right? Because that's one of the symptoms of intelligence, is you learn to filter what comes through your mind and what comes out of your mouth, right? That's the difference between a child and an adult. Right? So then if you're not, you're thinking that, oh, I'm so much more advanced than others. No, all you're just going back to being a kid. Just now you're a nasty kid, because at least the little kids, all they're worried about is something to eat or something like that. You know, they don't want to, you know, they want to play, they don't want to go to sleep. And that's what they're going to be brutally honest about. But now these, you know, this big grungy thing with, you know, the beard and, lust, anger, greed and that, and now it's brutally saying whatever comes to his mind. It's absolutely disgusting. So we don't mean this. So we have to be very, very careful that when it says truth, it means what's about Krishna. Being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit, that is truth. Facts are not truth. Right? Facts are something you work with. And then what you do with them, whether it's spiritual and material, that defines whether it's truth or not. So the idea is, no, I want the facts. That's truth. That means I want the facts so I can do with the facts whatever I want. But truth means it's about Krishna. So that's another one of these. You know, truth, and then the other one was, what was it? What did you say? Equality. These are all like modern buzzwords that they have their own definition to that does not in any way relate to the spiritual. Like that. It means people who are actually pure devotees have the qualities they're looking for the materialist. But the materialist doesn't have those qualities that they are proclaiming won't support their material position. Okay. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai.